blessing instead of potluck, because we don't believe in luck. Anyway, we had a get-together midweek last Thursday. It was a great success, and a lot of people came. Whenever there's a food, people show up. Anyway, let's do that again. When are we doing next one? First Thursday of October. Okay, so you know that. If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? Bob, right there next to you. Keep your hands up, please. One here. If you don't have a daily bread, daily devotional book, also raise your hand. You're going to need it, okay? Keep your hands up, please. While it's being distributed, keep your hands up high so people can hand it to you. Thank you. We are going to help the people in New Orleans and their area, Katrina Hurricane Relief Fund. We're going to set it up. And we are going to work with Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor name is Sandy Adams. We will send whatever you guys donate. And so if you're writing a check or if you're putting the cash in the envelope, write it underneath, above and beyond of the tithes and offerings. If you can write it to Katrina, the relief fund, and then we'll put every penny you guys hand out to give it to that fund, okay? So if you can do that and put it in the agape box, I'm sure the people down in the New Orleans will appreciate it. And if you felt that God is calling you to be a youth leader, please come see me. And we'd like to talk to you guys about that valuable ministry. So turn your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Okay, let's start. During the expository study of the Bible, and some of you guys are wondering, what is an expository study? Expository study is going from verse to verse, chapter to chapter, book to book. That way we get the full counsel of God instead of going through a topical study. I am not against the topical study, but I believe the expository study, you get to learn more about what God is trying to tell us. However, there is a time we wonder why God puts so much information, seems like unimportant, some seems like not necessary, such as the genealogy of the people's name and the tribe of Israel and the measurement and this description of Solomon's temple or even tabernacle. Or how about the sacrifice, how it should be done in Leviticus. How many of you guys fell asleep while you were reading Leviticus or Numbers? I did. Whenever I have a problem falling asleep, I tend to pick up the Bible because I fall asleep quite well while I'm studying. Anyway, so it seems like it's unnecessary things. However, God chose to include that in the Bible. There's 66 books and written by the 40 different authors. And there is a reason why God put all these things, and we need to find. See, a lot of people said, well, New Testament is easy to study. That is true, because in your face, it's right out there. Old Testament, you have to dig a little bit. This case, chapter 30 to chapter 31, I had to dig a little more than the normal way that I dig, because I didn't see a whole lot. Until yesterday, around noontime, 11:30, I didn't see what God is trying to tell us. And finally, I got the grasp of it. See, we are not going to read every single verse recorded in chapter 30 and chapter 31, because there are 90 verses, and a lot of times it seems like a repeating. So we're going to quickly scan through, and so you have to be with me in every step. God is doing something in Jacob's life in spite of Jacob's sin. That's the case in point for a lot of us. God is doing wonderful things in our lives in spite of our sins. So we will start at the verse 1 of chapter 30 and we will pray. Heavenly Father, again, our hearts are open, our Bibles are open to receive your instruction, precept, and principle. Speak to our heart, and more than speak to our lives, that we may live according to your way. And we pray for the people in the New Orleans, in that area, those who are affected by this Katrina hurricane. And we are asking you to, your hand be upon them and bless them. And you said you will meet all our need according to your riches and glory. Especially we pray for our brothers and sisters who are in the New Orleans area and all the surrounding areas. And we are asking your safety upon them. And we will also pray for the safety for the law enforcement personnel and the EMT and the firefighters around this community. Keep them safe and let them do the job, the extension of your job. And we also pray for our troops around the world. We're asking you to keep them safe and bring them back safe and sound to their homes. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Now, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So she said, "Here is my maid Bilhah. Go in to her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I may also have children by her." During the time, the woman who cannot have children is a disgrace to her. And the more children you have, the better position you're in. Good example is my mother. She was literally thrown out of her first marriage because she could not have children. And when she became 40, and she had a first child who was my brother, and when she was 43, she had me. And you're wondering, she shouldn't have me. Sorry, I'm here. Here I am. Here the Jacob and Rachel is doing exactly the same thing what his grandfather Abraham Sarah did. Folks, this is what they're trying to do against God's will. They are trying, instead of trusting God, they are doing the things in their own, putting the matters in their own hand. Their grandfather and the grandmother made an awful mess, and they are going. Jacob and Rachel is going. They are going to find that exactly same situation. We are going to find a major family feud, and one after another, and they are going after each other's throat. Bible gives us an accurate account of everything that we need to know. That doesn't, just because it's written in Bible, that doesn't mean we are allowed to do it. So Bible is not condoning polygamy. So guys, don't even think about it. Jacob should have said no to the ungodly idea from his wife, but he chose to go along with that. From verse 4 to verse 24, we're finding baby competition. Can you imagine you being a neighbor? Let's say we are neighbors of the Jacob's family. Four women popping the kids left and right and attending all the baby shower. Ladies, you would be very busy. They are using the children as a pawn for the power struggle. That's not a marriage. That's a completely chaos. We need to find out the four wives and their children. We need to know about their names because we will learn quite more later on. Would you post that, please? Okay. First one is by Leah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. Of course, we know these two tribes are very important tribes. As I said before last week, Levi is a tribe of priests, and Judah is a priest of king that we get the Jesus Christ. And Issachar and Zebulun, and Diana is the daughter, and that is not the head of the tribe. And the second case is in Bilhah, Rachel's maid, the Dan and Naphtali. And born to Zilpah, Leah's maid Gad and Asher. and born to Rachel is Joseph and Benjamin. So they have a, I guess they can make a football team out of this kid, huh? At this point, no one would think about Joseph as the main character, key character for the redemption purpose in God that we are going to find out in from chapter 37 of Genesis. Now, let's go to the Isaiah 55, please. And God allowed these people to have many children, but God is using this situation to bring forth the tribe of Israel people and to make 12 tribes. Isaiah 55. And a lot of times we wonder why God is doing the things that he's doing it. But we cannot understand it. Of course, he has a infinite wisdom. We don't. So 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We cannot understand God's thought, God's wisdom, because we do not have the same kind of wisdom or no intelligence. So we sometimes, a lot of times we have to say, God is God, and we are purely human beings. We have to just simply follow him. That's where the trust, that's where the faith comes in. Let's continue in verse 25 of chapter 30 in Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. Verse 25. And it came to pass that when Rachel had come to Joseph, that Jacob, born to Joseph, and that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wife and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay. If I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." The word that "learned by experience" in the original Hebrew word is by divination. See, that Laban is an idolater. So he, of course, he wants to do the things that are idolatry things, and by doing so, he realized that this Jacob is blessing him because God is with Jacob. Jacob was with Laban in Haran, with Laban and his daughter for 14 years at this time. And he was told by God to go back to the promised land, where he came from in the land of Canaan. From verse 29 through 36, we find that Laban is offering a new wage system. However, Jacob is not taking the new wage system and not taking the offer, because the last time he took the offer, what happened to him? He got the wrong bride. So he's not saying, I'm not taking your garbage, so I'm leaving. However, he is offering the new, this time Jacob is offering a new system. He said, "I will take care of your sheaves and the flocks. I will take the reject." What he means is striped and speckled and has a brown spot and gray spot. In Oriental culture, they prefer to have a white sheep, not spotted one, and they prefer to have a brown or black goat that doesn't have a spot, because when they skin these animals, it becomes a solid color, and that to them is very important. So anything, any animal have a spot or streaks are not valuable. However, there's, of course, you can still sell the meat and you can make money. By his own scheming trick, Jacob is starting to become richer and richer, because he's only allowing the strong flocks, strong sheep, to have a conception, and they have a little ones. And verse 37 through end of chapter 30, we find that Jacob went on to his con job, and he's influencing making the sheep to have a particular selective breeding. And we'll pick it up from the verse 3 of chapter 31. "Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'Return to the land of your father and to your family. I will be with you.' So the Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, and that it is not favorable toward me as before, that the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father have deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. You thought you had a bad boss? How would you like to have a boss who changed your salary for 10 times in 6 years? Now, he's about to leave, and there's 3 reasons why he's leaving Laban. Number one is a change of attitude to Laban, and the countenance, because his envy against Jacob is rising more and more. And the second reason is he needs to establish his own home. Third reason is the biggest one. He is led by God to leave this idolatrous country and back to the promised land. Rachel and Leah was agreeing and saying that you should do what the God says. They are not agreeing because they felt that God is leading them to do so, but the reason is because of material reason. They know that they are not going to get their inheritance from their own father. I don't think that they understood about the relationship between Jacob and God. This is the first time for a long time they agreed upon one thing. Now, how wonderful it is for your spouse to agree with you when you're doing work of God. It is very important. If you are between you and your husband or your wife, if you are not agreeing, you have a serious problem. Not only you have a problem in your family, spiritually you have a problem. To do work of God, you have to be in sync with God and in God's will. First of all, you have to take care of your family before you go anywhere, before you start the ministry. I'm just going inside the line. Some people say that, well, I don't agree what the Bible says. Woman should not submit to husband all the time. Do you find any exception in the Bible? With your name on. If you don't, that means you ought to submit. Not because you are less wives, not because you are less than husband. Because God says so. God has final authority. And guys, don't use your elbow to let your wife know that what she's supposed to do. As a husband, we have more responsibility than wives. We are to die for our wives as Christ died for the church. Is there anything that Christ didn't do for humankind? He gave everything. That's including giving up the ESPN, giving up the whatever the game you're watching on TV to do whatever your wife wants. You start to do that, guys, then how much your wives will cherish you, adore you. And you wonder why husband and wife have a problem? Because we become selfish. Did you get that? We become selfish. That's the main reason why there is a problem between the husband and wife. Let's continue in verse 17 in chapter 31. And then Jacob rose and set his sons and wives on the camel, and he carried away all his livestock and his possessions, which he had gained. He acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now the Laban has gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idol that were in her father's. And Jacob stole away in unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He rose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountain of Gilead. Then Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountain of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in the dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. So Laban overtook Jacob, So now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountain, and Laban with his brethren pitched it in the mountain of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have stolen away the unknown to me, that carried away my daughters like a captive with a sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and song and timbrel and harp. And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. And now you have done foolish in so doing. It is my power to do you harm. But God of your father spoke to me last night, saying that be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. And why did you steal my gods?" Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force, and with whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours, take it with you." And Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. This is the point where I'm going to make emphasis. Devil does not sit on his hand for you to come back to God or come close to God. He will do everything within his power to go against you, to discourage you, to deceive you. A lot of people think that, well, I'm not really backslidden from God, so this message is not for me. Let me put it this way. Like Pastor Chuck Smith from the Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa said, if you are not close to God, then yesterday you have backslidden from God. That's quite a challenge. We are supposed to be closer and closer to God every day. Each time we get up in the morning, we read the Word of God, we're supposed to be closer to Him. So if we are not meeting up that demand that we set in our heart and we should follow, then we are backslidden. Some people backslid a whole lot more than before. See, God wants you to come back and to Him, dwell in His presence, and feasting at the table of His Word, so that we may grow in Him, become more like Jesus Christ. All we have to do is just trust in Him instead of arguing with Him. Let me put it this way. Whenever we argue with God, number one, we are wrong. Number two, you ain't going to get your way, because God will get His way no matter what you do. Because He's bigger than you. He controls the universe. He can certainly control your life and my life. See, I don't know what to tell you. I've dealt with a few people who argue with me. When I do the counseling, I tell them, this is what the Word of God says. And they come up with the excuse, well, I don't feel like doing that. Let me put it this way. It doesn't matter how we feel what the Word of God should say. Word of God says the truth about what we're supposed to do to be more like Jesus Christ. But when we're arguing with God, that means we are going against God's Word. Guess who is right? Would it be us or would it be Him? Whenever we argue with God, please remember this. We are going against God's Word. Many Christian people think that their spiritual condition with God is great. There is a national survey done of the church in the United States that reveals the following. 10% cannot find anywhere. They don't come to church. They say they are Christian, but they surely don't come, not find anywhere. 20% never attend services. And next one is 25% admit that they never pray. Only time they pray is when they're in the tight corner. Or sometimes And somebody else praying, they bow their head, but that's about it. 35% admit that they never read God's word. Let me ask you this. Probably some of you might think that I'm condemning. When was the last time you picked up the Bible and read before you came here? Do you do that every day? If you don't, why not? Do you feed yourself every day? 3 times a day or 2 times a day or 1 time a day with the physical food? If you're willing to feed your physical body with the physical food, how come you are not feeding your spiritual body with the spiritual food that comes from here? Third and fourth, 40% never contribute to the church financially or physically. They never get involved with the church. And they're expecting, what the church is going to do for me? I'm going to flat out tell you, I'm not a Democrat. I'm a card-carrying Republican. So if you don't like it, that's tough. I'm not fond of a whole lot of Democratic people, but I have to agree with John F. Kennedy's his address in our inauguration. I'm going to change a little bit. I said this before. Do not ask your country, he said, do not ask your country what your country can do for you. But I'm going to change it this way. Do not ask church what the church can do for you, but ask yourself what the church you can do for the church. This is the body of Jesus Christ. If you sit there and expecting somebody to serve you all the time, you are going against what the Word of God says, what Jesus said. Son of God did not come to the earth to be served, but he came here to serve others. So to be more like Jesus Christ, we are to serve other people. Am I saying this so I can have more money in the agape box? Did you hear what I said, put more money in the agape box? No. If you're not contributing in the kingdom of God, you're still stealing your own blessing. If you're not serving, you're stealing your own blessing away from yourself. So you need to serve, you need to contribute in the kingdom of God to spread the good news to the people. 60% never read or study Bible lessons. Next one. 75% never assume any responsibility in the church. They always expect somebody else will do for me. How many of you guys have teenagers at home? Or how many guys were teenagers before? Remember your room? Remember my room? Everything was on the floor. We never pick up the clothes and put it in the hamper. No, we put it in the closet. My mom will do it. I remember when I used to work for the company, there is a little plaque on the wall in the lunchroom. Your mama doesn't work here, so clean up after your own mess. A lot of Christians are immature. They're expecting somebody else to wait on them. Get involved. Serve people. Serve God. You will be surprised how much you're going to get blessed. 95% never win a soul to Christ. They wouldn't know how to even evangelize to non-believers. Why? Because they never pick up the Bible and study the Bible. If I bring a non-believer here, can you witness to that person? If you cannot, why not? How long have you been in Christ? You may feel like I'm condemning you. I'm challenging you. If you've been in the Lord quite some time, is there any reason why you cannot spread the good news to the non-believers? I cannot wait to tell other people about good news. Let me put it this way. One drug addict will tell other people, many people, about how wonderful the drug is, illegal drug is, cocaine, marijuana, whatever that is, methamphetamine, whatever. And they will bring him down to the drug addict level. If the drug addict is willing to evangelize their drug addiction that much, shouldn't we spread the good news to the other people more? Don't you agree? Okay, 100% people expect to go to heaven, even though they are not doing a whole lot of things for the kingdom of God. So I'm challenging you. Do your part. Verse 44 of chapter 31. Now, therefore, come, let us make a covenant, and you and I, and let it be the witness between you and me. And so Jacob took the stone and set it up as a pillar. And Jacob said to his brethren, and gather stone. And they took the stone and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. Laban called Jacob. Oh, I cannot pronounce that thing. So we'll just call it Saharita. But Jacob called it Galid. And, you know, I couldn't even pronounce this Saharita at the beginning. And Laban said that this heap is a witness between you and me this day, and therefore its name was called Galid. In verse 47, two men could not even speak the same language. One is called Jacob Sahadusa, whatever, and Galid. They have both same meaning. It's a heap of witness or heap of testimony. It's really sad when the family member cannot trust each other, and it's how much better if they can forgive one another. As I said before, between the husband and wife, there's a lot of problem. Especially when it comes from the opposite side. You know what they say, opposite character attracts. That's a bogus. If you come from the opposite side, you are starting with your marriage life with a deficit. Trying to even that. It's hard. Folks, if you have a problem between husband and wife, if you have a problem brothers and sisters, if you have a problem parents and children, simple and sincere apology and truthful forgiveness will go a long way. You hear me? Simple apology and sincere apology will go a long way, and truthful forgiveness will go a long way. Don't hold it against each other, please. Verse 51. Let's skip down to verse 51. And the Laban said to Jacob, here is the heap, here is the pillar, which I have placed between you and me, and this heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, God of Nahor, God of their father, judge between us. So Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. They ate bread and stayed all night in the mountain. And all in the morning, Laban rose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. And the Laban departed and returned to his place. Do you remember? I'm sure you do. Do you remember that you draw the line between you and your sibling? So don't come here. Don't pass by here. Or how about this? In the family wagon, family station wagon, you put the tape measure or put the clothing in between you. And then a little bit later, Mom! He's looking at me. He's touching me. This is what is the case point. It is good to draw the borderline between you and the world. Never to go back. I see so many Christians somehow longing for that, what the world can offer, and go back to that world. What do you get? Sickness, drunkenness, disease, no hope. As I said before, the born-again Christian who go back to the world, they're backslided, the most miserable people in the world, because they have too much God in their heart to be happy in the world and too much world in their heart to be happy in God. Best solution for this kind of situation is a separating from the Laban and for the Jacob, and put the barrier between them. There is a good wisdom about having a separation from the in-laws. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 2, please. If you're having problems with the Genesis, the in-laws, here's your verse. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Leave and cleave. You know what they say of them, something about it. It's best that to keep the in-laws and the outhouse away from you, far away. Laban represent the world. Put the borderline and never to go near the borderline. When we stop our spiritual progress, we'll soon to be the train wreck waiting to happen. We must recognize that deep in our heart, in our nature, to backslide. We have a tendency to walk away from God, wander away from Him. There's some of you guys know the old hymn says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." Yes, we have a prone to wander. If we are not careful, we will walk away from God, just like Jacob did. And he came to sense he's coming back to God. Let's make one application. If we make a Jesus as our first love, everything else will fall into the proper place, proper balance. Do you remember that when you got saved for the first time, you couldn't have enough Bible study, you could not have enough sermons, you could not read enough Bible chapters? What happened? Did God move away? No. We did. Remember what I said. If we are not close to God, then yesterday we have backslidden. Let's go to one more verse. Genesis chapter 2, please. I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 2, verse 25. Verse 5. 2:5 of the Revelation. This is what Jesus speaking to the church of Ephesus. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Let's stand up and pray.